We're back on FLX Morning on this Tuesday, August the 2nd. It's 8:37. Our friends from Finger Lakes Health are in the house. Laura Turbine is here. Good morning, Laura. How are you?
Good morning, Paul. How are you?
Doing well. Who's our guest today?
I am thrilled to have I always love when I can bring a first-time guest. So Shalom Simmons is with us today, and she is our Director of Medical, Surgical, and Patient Care Services. And Shalom comes to us, and we'll talk a little bit about this, and we'll talk about PATH, because a lot of the times when we have new people on, we like to talk about, why are you interested in this career? What did you choose? What was your path? So Shalom not only has a master's, she's an RN, she has a master's degree, she has a background in business administration. She recently completed, somewhat recently now, a nurse practitioner and credentialing as a nurse practitioner. So she brings a wealth of experience and in various roles in nursing. And right now she's one of our key leaders, a nursing leader at Finger Lakes Health, with responsibilities for what I call our very, like what people think of when they think of the hospital, the traditional acute care nursing areas that have been so essential during these recent times, and also have, as you can imagine, have been very well utilized, and a lot of staff who need a lot of, support, leadership, and consistent ability to be appreciated. And so we're thrilled when we have leaders who can come in and I think bring their expertise to it. And she works directly with our Del Bigos, our chief nursing officer, as well as some many other colleagues across our health system to really form that, I guess I would call it, that backbone of the core of what we do.
Well, Shalom, welcome to the program. Glad to have you here.
Thank you so much, Paul and Lara. Thank you for having me.
And what possessed you to want to get into the field that you're in now? Because you started, I assume, just with regular nursing?
Yes, or? So I started as a staff nursing out of NYU in New York City. And I progressed through transplant clinical coordinator at Mount Sinai. And from there, during that time, I became a clinical nurse manager at Mount Sinai. I achieved my first master's from NYU. And always loved leadership, always felt, I felt like, you know, we were missing something in leadership. And so I think in terms of like what the nurse at the bedside really needed and what the nursing assistant as well at the bedside needed. So I thought, okay, maybe if I get into leadership, maybe I can contribute there and help my colleagues as they are taking care of patients at the bedside. So.
And your most recent accreditation, you were actually just starting to work on as the COVID pandemic hit.
So, yes. So, as you know, New York City was the epicenter for COVID. And my hospital that I worked at before, Montefiore Medical Center, we were the epicenter of it all.
Wow.
Yeah. So I'm pleased to say, and I'm always happy to say this, after the first surge, we saved 6,500 people. We had the highest volume of COVID patients in our facility in New York City.
Wow. That's a sobering thought to have to deal with that right off the get-go. And I can imagine that the staff there was probably feeling overwhelmed. I'm sure there were elements of despair, depression, desperation, all those cycles of emotions, especially when you're dealing with something that at the time it was an unknown.
Right. So at the beginning, actually, everybody just said, we're going to do this. We're going to get in here. Our system worked very well with one another. All of our administrators, all of the nurses, all of the doctors, we worked very well as a team and we supported each other. And it was after the surge is when you started to see PTSD, or you started, all the emotions started overwhelming everybody. And one of the things that I did was I worked with our psychiatrist and a psychologist and also one of the chaplains at the hospital. And we created a, for my particular unit, we created a 5 sessions where the staff can speak to them and, you know, let them know how they're feeling and, you know, a place that's safe for them to talk. And after we had those sessions, there was a lot of crying, there was a lot of sharing of experiences. And after we had those 5 sessions, the staff was better. The mood was better.
people, we forget a little bit now that we're a couple years out. Mm-hmm. You almost forget how many, as you said, Paul, unknowns during that initial phase. We didn't know what we didn't know. Mm-hmm. There was so much uncertainty and so much fear.
Yeah.
And when you think about the ability of having to just sort of, as we know, you're trained, run right to the fire, right?
Yeah,
like any
right,
first responder,
you
run right there.
It's like a war.
Yes.
You're running right into it. You're going to do what you have to do. People came to work.
Yeah.
No one didn't come to work. They
That's
came
incredible.
To work.
It is.
They came because they wanted to support each other. And the fallout was after.
And then people started to actually exactly the letdown, the feel,
the
feelings.
The letdown and the feeling. And we were fortunately, we got so many gifts from the American Red Cross. We got hamburgers from Mark Wahlberg. We got free everything. And, mm-hmm. and that just helped us, you know, go get through it. And we got through it all right. But then afterwards, we had to still support the staff. And that's what we did.
And
I think we did a
good
job in doing that.
Those spirits. And we saw the surge. So by the time you then joined us here up in the Finger Lakes, our beautiful region, where you decided this is going to be where I'm going to build a career here.
Yes.
You saw, because we didn't seem to see that same surge on the beginning. The timing here in the Finger Lakes was a little later.
Mm-hmm.
So you came to us right at a time where we've seen some of our peak volumes during the time that you've been here overseeing 3 North, 2 West, some of the places that people are very familiar with. And so you saw our staff go through some of that same, really managing some of the highest volumes.
Yes.
And you came in with that experience fresh in mind of what had happened in New York City.
Yes. I love staff. I love what we all do together to help patients. And it's very important that you, as a leader, you support them, you talk to them, you give them a chance, you give them a place where it's safe for someone to talk. It could be in a group, it could be one-on-one. And because I've had that experience, and I really enjoy really sitting down and talking to a staff, I could talk to a staff member for 30 minutes, an hour, if need be, if that's what they need. Because happy staff, happy patients.
Right. Now, we know that nurses are in short supply. That is a given.
Yes.
And that has been a given for a while now. Mm-hmm. But let's talk about the staff that are currently working, the nurses and the nursing assistants.
Mm-hmm.
Where are they in relation to where they were pre-COVID? And what do you feel as a leader they need to get back to where they were pre-COVID?
Well, you have to certainly have a lot of discussions. Even if you're creating like committees, and we have a lot of committees in our, we have a shared governance committee system in Geneva, in Finger Lakes, which was put together by Ms. Ardell Bigos, which I think is fabulous. There's a places where nurses can come together and nursing assistants come together and can actually talk about what they need. So there are different committees for one for education, one for work-life balance, and one for our computer systems. So there are different committees. And so you just have to have dialogue. You got to create a place where people can talk to each other. And then from there, you're going to learn some things too. And as I learn things from the staff, I says, okay, I learned that from you. This is what do you think we should do about it, right? So you want them to be included in the decision-making process.
And I was about to point that out, is that this is not an executive rule where 2 or 3 people are making a decision. This is everybody in the boat making the decision.
Everyone is contributing to the decision, yes.
And when I think about some of the things that the Shared Governance Council has done, and we've had folks here talking about it, things like recognizing people through the DAISY Award.
That's
and things.
Right.
And this is from staff maybe nominating each other. It's from patients nominating staff.
Yes.
And I feel like what we were just talking about before we came on the air is how important it is. So many people got into healthcare for those relationships.
Right.
It's a relationship business.
Right.
And we were talking about there's advantages to telemedicine. telemed because it's convenient, and it's convenient in a rural area, and it's really needed for access. But some of the people we know who have been using telemed more often, for example, part of what they miss is those relationships, that ability to do a hands-on assessment as a nurse. You know, that's what you're trained for, that relationship. And it goes the same, I think, with colleagues. So we feel very grateful when we can have, you know, and across disciplines too. So pharmacy works with nursing, and nursing works with radiology, and nursing works, really, when you think about, I would call it sort of a matrix organization, where there is so much cross-discipline work that takes place in order to well care for our patients.
Right. We have to show the staff that we care about them, that we care about what they think, and we do whatever we can to satisfy those needs that will help them get through the day. We're still reeling from COVID. It's been 2 years, but we're still reeling from it. And as you just pointed out, you know, the nursing shortage, right? Nurses are going to go where the money is, where the dollars are. So how do you keep them? How do you keep our full-time staff? And how do you keep the travelers and the agency nurses and all those nurses happy? You have to treat everybody as equally as you can, as justly as you can, as equitable as you can. And I want to create a place where where everyone feels like they matter.
So what do you have in mind, the short, long-term goals mm-hmm. for everything that you oversee, which, you know, we say patient care services, there's so much encompassed under that umbrella.
I mean, my short-term goal is, I've only been here for 5 months, so I have to lay that groundwork down to get to know everybody in the system as much as I can. In Geneva, General Hospital, in Soldiers and Sailors. So my short-term goal is to build relationships. That's my short-term goal. And the long-term is that as I'm building those relationships and solidifying those relationships, we can continue to improve on our quality measures, all the quality stuff that we need to put in place, preventing infections, decreasing hospital-acquired conditions, all of those things and more. And bringing us back to what we were doing before COVID, bring nursing back to high quality, excellent nursing care for our patients, giving them optimal care. That's the long-term goal.
And if there is a silver lining in the dark cloud that was the COVID pandemic, it's mm-hmm. that it was such a unpredictable, unknown, stressful situation mm-hmm. that now we can look at it, you know, reflect back on it, and this gives us the opportunity to be able to reassess so that when the next big event comes, we're mm-hmm. more prepared for what's going to be happening and more capable and having more measures in place to deal with the issues that arose from this one.
Right, absolutely. We cannot and we should never forget the human side of it. You can have all of the whistles and dials all you want, but if we don't take care of the human side of it, you're going to see a bigger fallout. The fallout will be worse. And so it's very important, folks like myself, Lara, all of us who work in healthcare, you know, we got to remember that human part. And I'm very happy to say that where I came from, we did. And where I am now, we did.
Yes,
we did.
And we feel, I always say, we're so blessed that we live in a region where mm-hmm. we're caring for friends and family and neighbors, and people know one another, staff know one another, patients know one another. And what I certainly want to give a huge shout out to the community, as you talked about how supported New York City was. Our community came together and were so generous and so supportive of staff during this time. And it really did give them that, I think, buoying up during the time. The other silver lining is us as people, as human beings, as consumers, as patients, however we want to define ourselves. Most of the time we don't think of ourselves as a healthcare consumer, but we know we do consume some of those services, is how it was a real perspective moment on how critical health is. And if you don't have your health, you don't have anything. And how it's a really building block for every family relationship, for every. And I think, if nothing else, I think hopefully people started to put their health at the center, be really aware, gain a new perspective. And I hope in some of the chronic disease and other kinds of things that we treat, whether it's an elective surgery like joint replacement that happens on some of the units that are overseen by Shalom, or whether it's cholesterol management or cardiac risk and all the things we talk about here, that for each one of us to realize we do as individual consumers, individual patients, individual people have some skin in the game of our own health. And that helps you create a good relationship with your nurse, a good relationship with your provider, by having that open relationship and being your own advocate.
Well, I do want to say that since I've been here, this is a wonderful community. The hospital is fantastic. Everyone has been so great and so gracious towards me. And I'm very, very happy to be here and be a part of this community.
And we're glad to have both of you here. I could go on for another hour talking about this, but unfortunately we're out of time. Shalom, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Laura, thank you. As always, pleasure to have both of you here. Welcome to the neighborhood.
Thank you very much. Have a great day.